We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Before we welcome in Charles Davis, I want to send a shout out my good buddy, my son, one of my sons, the great Troy Jefferson, T-Roy. I love you, T-Roy. T-Roy got married, I guess, over the Thanksgiving holiday. To another one of my good friends from years gone by, the lovely Caitlin Bertolino. So congratulations to them. T-Roy, I'm a little upset you didn't invite me to the wedding, all right? I could have at least given you a gift. I mean, I'm you know, come on. I'm a little upset by that, but I love you anyway. Nothing but love to you and Caitlin. I wish all the best as you go forward in your life. So congratulations to the great T-Roy and Caitlin.
And Troy, if you're listening, John Minko used to refer to him as Mr. Jefferson. And when we told Minko that Mr. Jefferson got married, Mink's response is, Richard Jefferson got married? So it shows you
how
easily.
Well, actually, Mink responded, Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas. So it shows you how forgotten you are to some people. But to us.
We love you, man.
We love you and we don't forget.
Love T-Roy. We go way back. We did a lot of stuff together over the years. God bless you, my son.
Indeed. Now, this weekend is the defining weekend of the college football season. The Pac-12 championship, obviously, tonight. The SEC championship, ACC. All the championships over the weekend where we will finally get a clearer picture on who the four playoff teams should be. And joining us right now, Fox, Charles Davis, Charles, Joe, and Evan. How you been?
Charles, how are you?
I've been great. And before we get into this college football stuff, I think I know why you didn't get invited to the wedding now.
Uh-oh. What's that?
Well, the last thing you said was, we did a lot of stuff over the years.
Was that right?
And I went,
that's a good
well,
call.
I figured oversight, sometimes it happens, you know.
I understand.
Sometimes the bride's family takes a few of the names that the groom's family puts in, and somehow, mysteriously, those invitations don't get sent. I don't know if it was both sides working in collaboration, but maybe my man just went, you know something? On this day, might not be good to have. We did a lot of things over here. That toast can take the wedding in an entirely different direction.
I hear you.
Oh, that's funny.
That's pretty
anyway,
good, Charles.
Sorry, we were talking football, right?
That's okay, good stuff, bad. Charles. That really is.
Yeah, pay attention very well, Charles. That was good, very good.
Let me start with this, okay? I really believe, and tell me if I'm right saying this, if Georgia beats LSU, then we are probably looking at the Final Four being exactly what the Final Four is now. Is that fair to say, Charles?
Very fair, and it's probably the nightmare scenario is probably a bit too strong. But truthfully, if college football looks at itself and thinks to itself of what it really is, and this is my own definition, but I don't think I'm wrong. Okay, it is a regional sport trying to encompass the entire country. NFL is a national sport with regional rivalries. It's a different deal. So, meaning, if you continue to not have the Pac-12 involved, you continue to lose support for your game in those areas. You lose your TV support, you lose interest, you lose all those things. So, yes, if Georgia wins, and the only way LSU is not getting another spot in there is if Georgia beats them 50-0.
Right, which is not happening.
No.
Which
right,
is not happening.
Right, right.
So what you're saying is the scenario, Georgia wins, now you got two SECs in again.
Yep.
You hear the rest of the country gnashing their teeth going, oh, God, these aren't SEC. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Ohio State, we expect to beat Wisconsin.
Yep.
They're a lock. Clemson, we expect to beat Virginia. They're a lock. There's your four. Now, if LSU wins, this is what you're looking for if you're college football people, and this is what I believe the committee's looking for. Please leave that fourth slot open. Please, please, please. Let us debate the fourth slot.
Right.
Let it be LSU. Let it be Ohio State. Let it be Clemson. You're covered now in star power, right? You're covered with Ohio State in terms of TVs and the whole country because these guys are everywhere. That fourth slot, you're hoping the Pac-12 makes a case for you to get them off of your you-know-what. But at worst-case scenario, if Oklahoma beats Baylor, you're covered there too because then Oklahoma gets in. So that's kind of what they're looking for. I think they would love to not have two SECs just to keep the rest of the country involved in this thing.
Even though the other scenarios are much very unlikely, especially compared to Georgia beating LSU, the Buckeyes, Clemson, they're protected in your mind that even if they suffered an upset loss, definitely Ohio State. I don't know about Clemson because their only really impressive win is what, Texas A&M? Are they protected from a loss?
I think Clemson would be out.
Well, that's my question. Are they out or would they be protected?
I think because the committee is made up of human beings, I actually think Clemson's protected.
Yeah.
Because they've been in this thing and won it so often, I think that it would be a hard sell for them to say, because what's the one thing that always comes into play? I know what I see, right? We do the Justice Potter Stewart thing about pornography. I know when I see it. And you can watch Clemson play, and you realize they're beating up on people who aren't very good this year. But you also realize that's a darn good team. That's also the team that everybody's trying to avoid. Okay, that quarterback gets hot. The runner, ATN's the player of the year. The defense has actually got better numbers this year than when they spit out Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, et cetera, last year to the NFL draft. That's a good team. I actually think they're protected, but I understand where you're coming from. They are the most vulnerable because of that schedule. So if there's one that would get kicked to the curb, especially losing to a Virginia, to Virginia, who's been ranked in and out throughout the year, but people don't really look at Virginia like, okay, Virginia. Wisconsin gets better stroke. But remember, Ohio State beat Wisconsin 38-7 during the season.
Right.
Okay, but they get better stroke because people recognize Wisconsin. I think that, obviously we've been through Georgia and LSU. And then, Baylor, Oklahoma is very interesting because what if Baylor wins? Because people have to remember, Baylor was up,
24 points. Right,
on Oklahoma. And let it get away, but then did not turn around and gag away the rest of their year, which often happens to teams on the rise. You have a bad loss, and they turn around and they tank. Right. They did not, so here they are.
If Baylor wins and beats Oklahoma, their resume is very tough to match because their one loss is, like you mentioned, to Oklahoma, who they eventually come back less than a month later and beat and get revenge on. That's a very tough resume to argue, even if they don't have a lot of great wins outside of beating Oklahoma. The one loss, unlike Utah, who lost to a very average USC team, that's a pretty good resume if you're Baylor.
It is, and I think that if you stack them conference versus conference, you would take the Big 12 over the Pac-12. So when you put it together, yes, that's going to be very difficult to deal with. Now, the problem Baylor runs into is name three players on Baylor's team.
Right. But we all know the coach. The coach is the most famous.
The coach is the star.
I love the coach.
Matt Rhule is the star of the team.
He is, you're right.
I love the coach. And I've said many times throughout this season, and you can ask any of my friends, colleagues, whatever, from the beginning of the year, I'm like, look, if Baylor has a big year or if Baylor gets better, now I did not expect to see them this good. All right. I don't have that good a crystal ball. But if they jump up this year, folks, Matt Rhule's going to be talked about in the NFL. Mm. Forget the rest of the college football world. Matt Rhule's going to be an NFL head coach. And that's where this train is headed right now. He had, he had offers when they were winning three games at Baylor because people knew he was good. Remember Indianapolis interviewed him when they were struggling?
Even the Jets last year, and you know what? I wish they would have took him the way Gaze is working out.
Well, here's the thing.
Let me say that, Charles.
And you guys know Matt's background and resume, where he's been in the league. He's going to be a guy that people are going to talk about.
Right. Talking to Charles Davis with the College Football Conference Championship Weekend. We'll know Sunday about the Final Four, who's in, as they say. All right, so let's look at this scenario now. LSU wins, obviously. Ohio State wins. Clemson wins. All right. Utah wins. Baylor
and Oklahoma wins.
Okay, who's in?
I think the committee's going to put Utah in.
Only because of the Pac-12.
I think the committee's dying, desperate to get them off their back. And the committee realizes their mission in college football is inclusiveness. And as soon as you made it a Final Four with five power conferences, you were going to have a problem year in and year out. The Pac-12 is in the line now where they've been out the most often. And here's their opportunity. And here's the other thing, guys. I know Utah lost to an average USC team, but USC's name still carries some resonance, and they did finish 8-4. So you can make a case now, okay, that's their one loss, but they dominated everyone else. They got through everyone that was supposed to be the leading contender. Remember, Oregon was a team that was supposed to meet them in the finals, and we were supposed to have that discussion, then Oregon screwed the whole thing
up. They lost to Arizona State.
That'll count, too.
And also, the committee has already told us we have Utah ahead of Oklahoma and Baylor. They already have put them ahead. So the question is, would Oklahoma beating Baylor be enough to jump a Utah team beating Oregon?
It could. And here's why. Remember the first one we ever had? Going into the final poll, I believe Baylor and TCU were ahead of Ohio State.
Right.
And Ohio State jumped them both and got in. You remember the controversy on the initial one? Ohio State jumped them both, got in the four slot, and everyone had a stroke. And then what did Ohio State do? They beat Alabama in the semis. Right.
Yeah.
And they beat Oregon in the final with Marcus Mariota as the Heisman winner.
Cordell Jones.
And that ended everything. I did that Big Ten championship game, and Cordell Jones made his first start.
Right.
And it was 21-0 Ohio State before we could blink.
Right.
And we were like, how many good quarterbacks do they have in Columbus, Ohio? So it can happen is what I'm saying.
All right.
Don't get stuck on where they are right now. Jumps can happen. Things can happen. We've seen it. And that was our best example.
No, you're right. I just don't know if that warrants a jump. When you look at who's playing who, I don't know if that's enough to get a jump. It shouldn't.
I don't know that it is either. Frankly, it wouldn't be for me. But I know this. I'm not naive enough to think that TV doesn't have a bat phone in there.
I get it.
And it may blink once for one and twice for another and what have you. I'm not saying that's beholden to it. I'm not saying that they're going to talk to them, but don't think for a second that people don't think of some of these things. It's like watching the NCAA tournament every year, and you all of a sudden you get that unbelievable matchup in the second round. How did they get seeded that way?
I don't know. Right. All right. So Friday night, the game is tonight, Oregon and Utah. So let's say Oregon beats Utah.
Yep.
Does that mean that if Georgia loses, that the Baylor-Oklahoma winner gets in?
No doubt about it at that point.
Okay.
Then it's a lock. Because Utah will have had their second loss. They're done. Right? We're not even talking about them anymore.
Right.
If Georgia gets beat, they have no case anyway. The only case they have to get in is to win it. Is to beat LSU.
Right.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Then Baylor-Oklahoma becomes a de facto play-in game for the fourth slot. The only thing that's crazy, guys, that we're really not giving much credence to, and I'm not trying to, but let's say it does get nutty. Let's say it does get a little crazy. Let's say Georgia beats LSU. Well, then we know we've got two there. Clemson loses. We talked about them being vulnerable. What if they get kicked to the curb at that point and opens it up for someone else, right? Then what if Ohio State does get beat by Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. I think Ohio State's better protected than Clemson is.
They got better wins. They played a tougher schedule.
No doubt. I think that they will still go. But, boy, then we have some crazy chaos, and then we have what's behind us. What's happening? Then if Utah wins, I think they're obviously going to get in at that point. The question would be, is do you kick a second team out or not? And I think it's doubtful.
You know, why do we – and I understand, I know the answer to this, but I'm throwing it out there anyway. The answer is money. But these conference championship games that, what good is it if, Wisconsin wins their game against Ohio State? They got no shot to get into the playoff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is money, and that's what's been established. And I think that a lot of the conference commissioners would tell you, the highs of some of our teams actually using those to vault in win versus the lows of our teams getting kicked out. Look, Bill Snyder, the great coach at Kansas State, lost his shot at the national title in a Big 12 championship game when Sir Parker scored for Texas A&M in overtime and beat them. Otherwise, I think they would have played Tennessee for a national title that year. Instead, I believe Florida State moved up and got that slot. I may be wrong on that, but that was their shot, and they lost it in a conference title game. My alma mater, Tennessee, lost a conference title game to LSU with Matt Mock. Remember that one? And Tennessee ends up not going to the Rose Bowl and playing Miami. I think Nebraska ends up moving up and getting it. So that's another lost opportunity if there wasn't a conference championship game. But think of the ones that got in. Florida got in on conference championship game. Remember they nosed out Michigan that one year when they beat Arkansas in the title game and ended up beating Ohio State in the national championship game. I could go on and on with those.
Well, I think
vaulting up is what the conference commissioners are banking on. Plus, you get money in your pocket anyway, sure, no matter who wins.
But to your point, I think this year, if Utah gets in, the conference championship game has a lot to do with it.
Well, yeah.
That's a good win for them.
And certainly Oklahoma-Baylor would be, too,
yeah,
if Georgia loses.
So I think that's the benefit, besides that the money,
The money's the first one.
Right, right.
It's an extra week of interest in your conference where everyone comes together and locks in on your place. And then, of course, you can vault someone in. Yeah, you're going to occasionally get some.
We lose Charles?
May have lost Charles, but yeah, I envision a day, someday, I don't know when, years from now, where winning your conference championship automatically gets
well,
you
into the playoffs. That's something I want to see.
I think we'll see it someday.
I hope so.
I don't
know
if we ever thought we would see this, an actual college football playoff. For years, it never looked like that would happen. We got Charles back, but do you think that someday we will see a world in which you win your conference,
and
you make the playoffs, and the field expands?
And then maybe a wild card team for the other one.
Yeah. When they jump it to eight,
yeah,
we'll see that. When they jump it to eight, because then all your five power conferences are covered.
Right,
and they'll go in, and guess what? You know what the next step, and then you'll have three wild cards, and we'll fight those out. But you know what we'll end up with eventually when that happens? Something like we have in the NFL now where the Cowboys or Philadelphia are going to claim a playoff spot, and absolutely no one wants them to be in the playoffs because they're going to claim an automatic spot because of winning the NFC East, and everyone's going, what the heck? But that's how it works. And that's going to happen in the college football playoff.
But there's nothing, you know what, though, Charles? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we saw a 7-9 Seattle team about 10 years ago win a division and then win a playoff game against the Saints.
I believe didn't Carolina go 7-8-1 and win a playoff game as well?
You're right. That's right. Them as well. Right, right.
So we do see it, and it's going to happen. But I'm just saying, as you guys well know right now, you're looking at it, and San Francisco or Seattle – could end up 12-2.
Could end up
13-3, and be a five.
And
one of them's going to be a five.
Yep.
And everybody's going to have a fit. And it's just the way it goes, and just how it is. But you're right. We're going to get to eight at some point. Five automatics with the power conferences. Three wild cards, and that's where the fight will be every year.
You know, the one team I as I look at this again, we're talking to Charles Davis. Clemson has a chip on their shoulder a little bit because I think they've been disrespected because of their schedule. They had that one almost loss to North Carolina. Everybody went crazy when they barely beat them, and I think they are extremely dangerous once they get in this thing. I really do.
I think they're the team no one wants to play, and I think Dabo Sweeney recognizes that, which is a big reason why he is lobbying as much as he is when you're sitting there going, hold it a minute. Aren't you the defending national champs? What are you concerned about?
How many games in a row they win, too? 28 in a row? Right. How many in a row they won?
You see, and look, every year, whoever wins it all, go back and look at their schedule. There's either a loss on their schedule or a very close game against someone you wouldn't expect. It's the nature of the beast. You have to survive those games, and they did. This team is really good. I wouldn't want to deal with them. I absolutely would not. And I think whoever has to play them is scared to death. So right now, if you're looking at it and they end up being number three, you're trying your best to be number one or number four because you don't want to be number two and play them in the semi.
That's true. It's true. It's going to be a very interesting weekend.
Yeah, before we let you go, I just want to throw this at you, too. The Heisman Trophy winner is who?
I think right now the kid at LSU is probably the front runner. But I'm telling you, there's got to be a wave, if you're thinking defense, for the young man out of Ohio State who lost the two games with the NCAA, and it didn't feel right that he lost those two games, yet he still was pushing 20 sacks on the year. So I think that's going to be interesting. The tough part for him is he's going to end up splitting votes with his quarterback and his runner. You know,
yeah, I was going to say that. They got three
votes.
Guys.
He's going to get votes. That's going to hurt him. That actually helps Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow's story is so good. And in the college football world, we love stories. Just remember, he got beat out by Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. And Dwayne Haskins threw 50 touchdown passes and was player of the year and a first-round pick. Burrow's going to go higher than Haskins in the draft. Think about that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well,
Charles, we always appreciate it, man.
Charles. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. You take care of yourselves. And, you know, probably good you didn't make the wedding.
Charles, good talking to you, man. I appreciate it.
Be good, guys.
All right, man.
Charles Davis of Fox talking college football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.